Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 140 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff Singh. Alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on the show, we've got news. We've got some big news in the toy spotting segment. We have the listener segment, and you are going to play Everybody Has a Price. Nostalgia will be kicked off till next week. Scott, you are not feeling good, man.
Not the best, dude. Not the best. So we're going to put the nostalgia segment off until next week, so you'll have to stay tuned to see who we have picked for the next set of nostalgia.
You said you weren't feeling too good, so the less talking you have to do, the better.
Yeah, and that's normally my segment, so yeah. Yeah, sorry guys, it's rough sledding this week.
Everyone, head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. Pick up any of our past t-shirts. You can also pick us up as the Bulldogs of British, Scott.
Quote, unquote, Bulldogs.
You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, any of them at all, at FullyPosablePodcast.com. By the way, we have no clue what happened to episode 135. That just went up and missing on Podbean, so we're in contact trying to get episode 135 back up.
Oh, it's still missing?
Dude. We went to re-upload it last night, and it's already there. And if you look, it's not there. We're like, what?
Oh.
So we're trying to get a hold of Podbean's support group, and they haven't gotten back to us, which is unacceptable.
Episode 135, search party of three.
Dufresne, party of two. Download that Podbean app, and you can go back and listen to any of our past episodes, well, except for episode 135, I guess. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Scott, please rate and review on iTunes. Like this week, it comes from Steve Gutenberg.
The Steve Gutenberg?
The Steve Gutenberg, Scott.
Mr. Short Circuit, Police Academy, Cocoon?
Yeah, Steve Gutenberg wrote in on iTunes to say it's the best podcast.
Wow, thank you, Steve. If I can call you instead of Mr. Gutenberg.
Short Circuit, way to bring that out of the woodwork.
And Cocoon, you're welcome.
Steve Gutenberg gave us a sweet 5 stars. He said, amazing podcast. I have never rated a podcast before, but this one is so good, I felt compelled to. It's obvious from the get-go that Jeff and Scott love wrestling and wrestling figs and have a vast knowledge of both. The informative nature, witty banter, breezy pace, and let's be honest, the fig talk keeps me coming back time and time again. My favorite episodes so far have to be recent LJN retrospective episodes. There might be a little bit more LJN talk, Scott, here in a couple minutes.
Possibly.
There is something so nostalgic about guys waxing poetic on how Rick Rude is a terrible figure because he can only convincingly pull off a shoulder tackle. It's that kind of detail that keeps this podcast head and shoulders above anything else out there. Thank you, Steve Gutenberg, famous actor.
Thank you, Steve. That's awesome, man. Loved you in Short Circuit and Police Academy, too.
Wasn't he in all the Police Academies?
I believe he was, yes.
You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Everyone, Series 2 card back t-shirt. I am going through the list. I'm trying to get everybody rounded together, trying to herd everyone into getting your pictures and your Hasbro. Tell us what Hasbro poses you want to be in. Hopefully we can get Jason Wolf started on that here in a week or two, Scott.
Yeah, I'm in touch with Jason Wolf. By the way, that's at JasonWLF on Twitter. He is the guy that's going to be drawing the listener card back Series 2 shirt. So the sooner that you get us that information, the quicker we can get it over to Jason, because his schedule is full. When I touched base with him, he had a lot of projects on his plate. So the sooner we get him that info, the better.
So yeah, let's try to get all that together next week or two. Hopefully have that round up. Also, if you're on series two and I don't hear back from you, I'm going to start pulling from series three. So people that have been placed onto series three, be ready. You might be getting a DM from me.
Yep. You're coming off the bench, folks.
Scott, did you do any toy spot in this past week?
No, actually I didn't. We had a super lazy weekend. I pretty much just played Fire Pro and Killing Floor 2. And that was about it. Watched some movies. We got, let's see, what did we get in this past weekend? Jurassic Park, Fallen Kingdom. I watched the original Predator from 87. Amazing. We watched, gosh, what else did we watch this weekend? Ah, I'm drawing a blank. There was another big one that we watched. We watched Ocean's 8, Fallen Kingdom. There was another big one, and I can't remember which one it was. But yeah, we got some movie. Oh, Solo. That's what I watched. The Star Wars movie, Solo. So we got all those in this weekend, and that led to zero toy spotting. It was a super lazy weekend, so I did zero. But that was because, Jeff, you have, like, the biggest toy spotting segment in the history of the Fully Posable podcast.
You guys have seen the pictures this past week. I did purchase two LJN prototypes. You guys saw the pictures, but here's what I purchased. I purchased an articulated Hulk Hogan that was supposed to come out, and it was a 5-inch. It's supposed to be G.I. Joe scale with articulation, but those figures never saw the light of day, obviously.
Yeah, it's the ones that Bill talked about on the LJN special show.
And it has one arm. I will get into that in a sec. The other one I purchased was, what was it, a JCPenney or a Macy's ad, Scott?
That's a good question. I believe it was, it was definitely on the card back. Yeah, but all the toy catalogs that came out around Christmas time, this was the one that they showed in those catalogs, plus the card back.
Right, and that was George the Animal Steel with painted on chest hair. There's only one, and I was able to get it. I'm not going to reveal the price. Don't message me on the side. I'm not going to reveal the price, so don't at me. I don't mean to come across rude, but don't at me. I'm not going to reveal the price of what I paid. So here's how it kind of went down. I know some people are like, why did you purchase this?
Well, we all know that prototypes really aren't our thing. This is the first episode where, I mean, aside from that Ultimate Warrior that you got, that was it. And that's normally not our thing. That was just a special thing, and you were helping somebody out when you purchased it. So it was all a good deed as well. So aside from that, though, this is not our wheelhouse. We don't normally deal in prototypes, but go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, because actually the Warrior was to help the guy out with medical bills.
Right.
So am I ever going to purchase a prototype again? I'm never going to say never. I mean, if that Gobbledygooker came out from Mattel, I'd be all over that, you know?
Right.
If I ever had a chance at that. But this is a rare thing. And, you know, why did I do this? Why did I purchase these LJN prototypes? Because when I saw these on a list, 6-year-old Jeff and 11-year-old Scott would have loved to have these. And I was thinking of our shared collection. This is a shared collection. Scott and I always talk about our shared collection, the Hasbros, the LJNs, the Galoobs, the Remcos. We talk about the shared collection. This is part of the shared collection. It'll probably be at my house, but this is still a shared collection that is for Scott and myself. I will go back into the Hogan arm. Now, if you guys can stick with me on this one, I'm going to have to go into a little bit of detail. So the gentleman that I was talking to for these prototypes, he had two Hogans of the 5-inch articulated figures. There was one Hogan with two arms, and then there was one Hogan with one arm. And obviously, you guys saw the pictures this past week. I did purchase the one with one arm. So we were going back and forth, and I told the gentleman that I wanted the two arm. And he says there are two people interested, and I guess you guys can probably guess who the other one that was interested in it. Not naming names, but you guys can probably piece two and two together on that one. He said, I do have this one arm one. And I said, well, how would we go about, you know, figuring this out? And he says, both parties would have to agree. And here's what they would have to do. They would have had to take off the right arm on the two-armed Hogan, mold, cast, and sculpt it, then place onto the one-arm Hogan, then place the two-armed Hogan back together. Is that so far so good, Scott?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense so far, but there's one catch to all that.
So he did mention that if they were to do that, that would take time and money.
In addition to that, though, aside from the time and money, the other party had to agree to it.
Yeah, the party would have to agree to it. So I said, okay, hypothetically, if I take the one-arm Hogan, would there be a price break? He said, absolutely. So I said, okay, I'll take the one arm Hogan. And I said, if you throw in the steel, would you accept this X amount? And he said, yes, sold. And as you guys saw, I received those figures this past week. So in the collection is a 5-inch articulated Hogan. I hate to give up the two arm Hogan, but I did get a price break and I did make it easier for the seller.
Well, it's got the different sculpted trunks on it, too.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. It does have the different sculpted trunks that's compared to the two-arm Hogan, where it had different sculpted trunks.
Right. I could just picture how beautiful this would have been finished, painted, and in our hands as kids. They would have been so awesome, dude. It would have been like a step up from the Bendys, I think. They would have been amazing if these had actually come out. And this isn't one of those things, Jeff, where you're like, oh, hey, I got a couple more prototypes. I'm just going to throw them in with all my other prototypes and they'll just sit there and I'll, you know, after looking at them a few times, they'll just blend right in with the other ones. That's not how this works with our collection. We don't have prototypes. That's just not our thing. I mean, we've got plenty of figures, prototypes and sculpt, and those things are just not part of it. That's why these two are going to stand out. And you're not normally spending that kind of coin that you spent, but the reason you did it is because every time you look at them, it's going to take you back, like you said, to 6-year-old Jeff and 11-year-old Scott. And every time either of us look at them, we're going to appreciate them. We're going to look at that George Steele and go, man, how cool would it have been if when we were kids, we had the George Steele with the painted hair instead of just the molded hair that didn't have any color to it. It just looked like a bunch of worms on his chest. But this actually has the painted hair. It looks amazing. This is what was on the card back. This was what was in the Christmas catalogs. And it's going to shoot us back to our childhood. We're going to look at the Hogan, wish that we had it painted and finished as kids. And it's going to mean the world to us. Every time we look at it, it's going to just take us back. It's going to mean the world to us. So again, will you buy more prototypes in the future? Who knows? But this is not your go-to thing. This is just completely out of the ordinary. And honestly, dude, I'm glad that you did it because this is what, our third prototype?
Right.
This isn't something we normally purchase. So that's awesome, dude. I love that you did it. I can't wait to come over and see them and just reminisce. And they're awesome. They really are. To own a piece of history like that, with as much as we've told everybody how much the LJNs meant to our childhood, how much we told Bill they meant to our childhood when we had him on the show. To have these pieces now as just kind of a little tiny piece more of our childhood, it just means the world.
When I purchased these, I was so happy. Obviously, the bank account weeped a little bit, but...
Well, yeah, and that's another major part of it, too.
Right, and there's the ramifications from me dropping this big of coin. I'll get into that second, but you said it best, dude. This was our childhood. This was us. This was us playing with wrestling figures and not knowing that there was articulated Hogan's out there that were almost to market. And
yep.
God, could you imagine how much you and I would have gone bonkers for those?
I'm wondering if they would have trumped. They probably wouldn't have, but how much more playtime would we have gotten out of our wrestling figures if these had been released? They definitely would have replaced the Bendys.
Yes.
They more than likely would have cut at least half into the Remco playtime, and they would have been amazing, especially if they were going to come with any sort of accessories. Like, I'm sure Hogan would have had the title. Gosh, you name it. Like, if they ever did a Coco Beware to come with the bird, Jake the Snake with the snake, you just imagine the accessories that would have come with these. Big John Studd with a robe. I mean, who knows? It would have been amazing. I actually hope one of these days Mattel picks those up, or if WWE license changes hands and another toy manufacturer gets it, I would love to see somebody tackle those and actually put them out. I think they'd be so killer.
So I mentioned the ramifications. So this actually ties into my toy spotting. So all this transpired about a week ago, and I purchased the prototypes, sent the money off. That following Saturday, a week ago, I get a phone call from special guest Sean, and he goes, hey, dude, I'm at Target, and they have Series 4 of the retros. And they have everybody except Ric Flair. And I said, okay, do they have Sammy? And he goes, yeah, they have Sammy. I said, okay, can you pick me up Sammy? And I said, how does Finn look? And he goes, the black arms just are a little much. That basically made up my mind. And I said, how about the KO? And he goes, it's KO, just with a different shirt. I said, okay, that made up my mind regarding the KO. So my set isn't going to be complete now. But if I wouldn't have spent that money a couple days prior, I would have more than likely purchased the Finn and the KO just because I wanted them. to complete the set, even though I didn't want them.
Yeah. Yeah, but it definitely solidified it in your mind where normally you would have been like, ah, screw it, just buy them.
Yeah, so instead of paying $36 for three figures, I just paid $12 for one, so...
Yeah, it definitely changes your spending habits.
Yeah, so that's the ramifications of making that big of a purchase, and I'm not going to be doing that again anytime soon, trust me. There's no way I'm going to be doing that, but I'm happy I did do that, and it's going to take us back, Scott, you know, the memories, the happy memories... Actually having the George Steele that was in that catalog, that was on the back of the card, it's just going to, it's that memory, dude.
Oh, for sure. And you know what it's going to remind me of every time I see it? What? First off, it's going to be like, oh, okay, there's the George Steele that was on the card back, which is what I was basing my George Steele on when I went to Toys R Us and Barbara pulled George Steele out of the case and handed him to me. And I'm like, okay, there's the green tongue. What is this crap on his chest? I'm like, where's the painted on hair? This looks like garbage. What is that? So seeing that George Steele is going to take me back to that moment where she pulled Ricky and George out of the case, Ricky Steamboat and George Steele out of the case, and I was just blown away by the lack of the color on the chest. So it's going to remind me of those happy memories. And then the Hogan, I mean, whatever, one arm is fine, it's got the different trunks on it sculpted from the two arm Hogan, but just thinking about what could have been as 6-year-old Jeff and 11-year-old Scott with those line or with that line of figures, the articulated LJNs would have been amazing.
Absolutely, dude. So that's the reason I did it. Those are the ramifications. Like you said, dude, one arm Hogan, it's not gonna bug me. I'm happy to have one of two. You know, there's one of two in the world. Yeah, it's missing an arm. But I honestly felt too that if they would have taken the arm off of the two-armed Hogan to cast, mold, and sculpt, it would have made my one-armed Hogan not authentic, if that makes sense.
Right. No, because that's not an original part.
Exactly.
No, I agree with you 100%. So as long as you're cool with it, some people with OCD may be like, oh my gosh, I got to have the two arms. And I get that. But dude, if it doesn't bother you, more power to you.
Those are the protos. Those are the ramifications. But that's why I did it. They do come with COAs. So that helped out big time too.
Yeah. And dude, this is such a huge part of the shared collection. They're going to be up there with the Blue Bloods and the Warrior prototype. And then now these two, amazing. And again, I don't see you doing this anytime again soon,
no,
if at all. But this was definitely like a once-in-a-lifetime shot to do it, and you had to take it.
No, I'm never. I'm not going to say never. I'm not doing that again anytime soon.
Yeah, so all in all, this is probably the biggest toy spotting segment we've ever had and probably is the biggest one we'll ever have.
Yeah, I think we should put toy spotting to rest now because we can't talk.
Yeah, right? Jump the shark.
Yeah, we just jumped the shark on toys. Oh, what'd you get? Elite 62 AOP? Oh, yeah? Is it a Hogan articulate?
Yeah, right? I'm glad I didn't have any toy spotting to compete with yours this week.
Did you purposely not go toy spotting because of that?
No, definitely not. It just so worked out like that. But, dude, I'm really, really happy that you got them. Again, this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If you had passed on it, it's one of those things, 6-7 years down the road, you would have looked back and been like, man, I wish I had just done it. I wish I had added them because now there's no chance of you getting them ever again. So I'm glad you took your shot.
You know what, dude? That's exactly a thought process I had. I was like, am I going to regret this 3 years down the road? And I kept going to yes, because I'm not going to have another I may have another opportunity, but who knows what those prices will be? You just don't know. You can't predict the future.
Yeah. Once it falls into somebody else's hands and they decide to sell, who knows what's going to happen to the value. So you took your shot, dude, and kudos. Nicely done.
Thanks, man. Well, it's in our shared collection now, dude.
Yep. I love it.
Scott, one other thing that we wanted to talk about, so a video popped up regarding a guy. He popped open a green card Smoking Guns Hasbros. He also, right before we started recording, popped open a Crush green card Hasbro. You have an opinion regarding that?
I think every collector, be it mint on card or loose, has an opinion of that video. I just felt, because it was such a hot video that came out this week, that a lot of people had strong reactions to one way or the other. And my opinion is always to each their own. But there's a catch to that. I don't understand. I mean, let's take my opinion out of it for a second. His reasoning is his reasoning for opening this very valuable set of figures.
And what was his reasoning?
No, I don't know. He wanted to let them breathe. That was the reason given. I have to let them breathe. Well, what you've done is you've now pulled one set out of the population of these carded green card Hasbros. You've pulled a carded set out. So, I mean, is that going to affect the value of the other ones that remain out there? Who knows? But you've basically pulled a set out of circulation. Maybe you could have traded the carded set to somebody that needed it, and they could have traded you the loose ones. So you had the loose ones, unless his reasoning was opening the figures takes me back to my childhood, and I'm going to open them. And I don't care. It's my money. I do what I want with it. Again, to each their own, more power to them if that was the reasoning. But I've got to say, as a mint on card collector now, man, that was tough to watch. But you and I did the same thing, albeit back when they came out in the early to mid 90s. You and I did that same thing. We ripped open green cards as well because our set is loose. But if I were to get a green card set now, I can guarantee there is no way I could bring myself to do it. If I had to open a figure, I would just go buy a retro off the pegs. There is no way I'm ripping open a green card. I would trade it first before I had to rip it open. I would trade it for a loose one. If I had to have a loose figure, I would just trade the carded to somebody that wanted it for their collection in return for the same figure in pristine condition. There's no way I could open up a green card set. That's me personally. His reasoning, who knows what it was. The reason he gave, like I said, was to let it breathe. But man, that was tough to watch, dude.
It's his collection. He can do whatever he wants. And
exactly. Exactly. That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. It was in his possession, in his house. He did what he wanted with it. It was his money. More power to him.
But when you look on eBay, like, there's a set right now on there for a smoking gun set, I should say, on a green card Hasbro. There's a set of them up there for about $726. Buy it now. And now I don't know if anybody will buy it now on those. There was a Billy Gunn that was $285. I mean, that's $285 you just lost right there. So what? How much is the Billy Gunn loose?
Well, the good thing is it's in perfect condition.
But how much is it loose? What is it, $175, $150?
It's up there. Yeah, it's over $100, that's for sure.
So that's $110 to $120 decrease in value right there?
Yeah, and again, I mean, if he was doing it for nostalgic purposes, you know me, dude. I'm always on the side of nostalgia. So if he was doing it for nostalgia purposes, just to have the card and rip the figure off of it, and boom, I now have a set of smoking guns, more power to him. That's awesome. If that was for nostalgia's sake for you, it's your money. You know, do what you want. I'm just saying, me personally, from my perspective, that was tough to watch.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely tough to watch. It's like, dude, what are you doing? And maybe money is no issue to him. Okay, so, you know, more power to him. Good for him. But, I mean, at least, like you said, trade or sell them on eBay and just get a loose collection. You might have some extra coin left over. But again, money may be no issue for them.
Yeah, and if it's not, it was nostalgia purposes, dude, more power to you. And again, we're definitely not attacking him. You know, it's your collection. Do what you want. We absolutely would not attack anybody. But it was such a hot video this week that inspired a lot of emotion from people. So we just wanted to address it, talk about it really quick, and, you know, we can't say give us your thoughts on it because most of you guys already did give us your thoughts on it on Twitter. But, you know, again, we're not attacking anybody. He did what he wanted to do with his figures. That's totally your prerogative. But as a mint on card collector, which I know a lot of us are, man, that was like watching a snuff film, wasn't it? I think somebody even called it as much, and I was cracking up. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so true. But again, if it was a nostalgia thing for him, I get it, you know, and if money's no object, boom. I mean, we just went into a whole thing, Jeff, on your toy spotting for the week. And 100% of that discussion was the money you shelled out and nostalgia, what it's going to mean to us. So maybe that was the same for that guy.
Well, it inspired him to do another video, which happened right before we started recording, where he opened up the green card crush. And I think the first video drew such a reaction that I think that just encouraged him, whether it was positive or negative, it encouraged him to do another video. I don't agree with it, but it's not my collection. So do what you want, man. I just don't understand it. I don't understand the thinking in that. Like you said, Scott, you just took a green card set away from, you know, one set that will never be reproduced.
Right.
on this earth and you just took one away. You could have sold it for so much more, but again, money may not be an issue.
Yeah, there's a limited number of those sets out there on the market. And when you take one out, obviously value starts to go up. You're not going to see it when one set gets opened, of course. But, you know, if everybody starts opening up their green cards now because of that video, man, watch those values.
Yeah, Rat Chad said it best, man. He goes, that's fine that you wanted to do that, but man, you could have just sold those and then just purchased and had extra coin left over.
For a loose set, right. But again, I'm questioning more, was it a nostalgia effect for him? And if that's the case, that's fine. I get it. I'm all about nostalgia, dude. So if opening up that green card took him back to 94 or 95, that's fine. Do your thing. It's your money. Again, it's your money. Do what you want.
It's not our set.
No, definitely not. And look, our set's loose too. We opened ours at one time. Granted, it was like 20-something years ago, but still, that's that's beside the point.
Yeah, but I mean, if we ever got to that point where, you know what, Scott, we need to open these figures, which I don't see us doing at this age, but you
ever.
Know, like...
Yeah, ever.
But if we were like, we need to let these figures breathe or whatever the hell that is, I think we would have been able to think logically and go, okay, we want a loose set open to put in a cabinet, to put in a case, to put on a shelf, whatever it may be. Let's sell these off and then get a loose set.
That's the way I would have approached it.
Yes. I knew you wanted to talk on that, so.
No, I did. And again, we don't need to ask anybody what they thought because most of our listeners did let us know what they think on Twitter. And that was great. Everybody had an opinion on it, man. They got fired up. And you know what? Honestly, that's what the hashtag Fig Life is all about. You know, we have strong feelings one way or the other on things, and that's what brings us together. We're one big family, and family doesn't always get along. Sometimes we fight.
Well, I don't know who this guy is. Like, he doesn't follow us. We don't follow him. I have no idea who this dude is.
Yeah, well, then we can assume he's not listening. So, again, everybody already kind of gave their opinion, and it seems like this dude's going to release more Hasbro snuff films. So, stay tuned. We might have more to talk about next week.
Scott, we've got a little bit of news. What do you say we jump into it?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, I'm going to have you kick off the news because it's regarding a lawsuit.
Yes, the WWE versus Miscellaneous Wrestlers. With the concussion lawsuit has come to an end and they have ruled in favor of WWE. So all those guys that banded together and sued WWE have lost. What that means to future figures, we of course don't know yet because that all just went down this week. Who knows if there's going to be appeals and whatnot, but hopefully this means everybody can be one big happy family again. And all of a sudden Mattel is signing a ton of dudes, or WWE I should say, and Mattel signing a ton of dudes to Legends deals. That's my hope. Of course, we won't know. This is going to take months, maybe years to sort out. But the good news is that lawsuit is over with. So that can't be the excuse now for guys not signing deals. So hopefully for us collectors, this means more figures of guys that we've been requesting, Jeff.
Dear Marty Jannetty.
Yeah.
We need another Rockers 2 pack.
Yeah. Dear Animal.
Yes. We need more Road Warriors.
Yes.
Dear,
yes.
Who else was in that concussion law? It seemed like everybody under the sun was. I think I was on the concussion lawsuit. I never sniffed WWE headquarters, dude.
Dear Billy Jack Haynes. Okay, I'm just kidding. Maybe I was exaggerating a little bit there.
Dude, I liked Billy Jack, dude, when I was a kid. I did. I admit
dude,
it.
Okay, let's be gross for a second. WrestleMania 3.
Yes.
We all know 93,173 people in attendance.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, unless you ask Meltzer. Then there were like three people watching it.
They were all at New Japan.
Yeah, and it only got 2 stars. Okay, almost 94,000 people watched as Billy Jack Haynes vomited on the back of the great Hercules Hernandez.
Yes, that is a factual statement, yes.
Disgusting. Come on, dude, get your stuff together.
I remember watching a TNA show and Raven puked in the ring, but when he puked, it wasn't like normal color of vomit. It was black.
Yeah. What?
It was like,
what was it? That come from his soul? What's that?
It was like he was spraying venom out or something, dude. I don't know, man.
I know what it was.
What?
Jaeger.
Oh, good call, huh?
I've been there, Raven, my friend.
Allegedly, it could have been.
Yeah. Squat has fought Jaeger many times and lost. And it looked just like Raven throwing up in the ring.
So was Kamala on that lawsuit? No, Kamala wasn't on it because they made a figure of him. Or no, they re-released the Legends figure.
The Legends. Right, correct.
So I, without having the list in front of me, there was, I just remember there's so many names on that list, you know?
Yeah, and hopefully, again, fences can be mended, and a lot of the names that we've been requesting for years and have been told, oh, the lawsuit can't do that. Well, now that's not an argument anymore. So again, one big happy family, let's come together and put out some killer figures. That's the hope.
Scott, Elite 63 pictures were shown. Sami Zayn, black hat, and he has the Yep shirt on.
Yep.
Kane with removable... I put removable mass.
Would that be located on his back?
Oh, man, get that man some Z-Pack.
Right above the buttocks is where it was located.
Literally on my show notes, it says removable mass, M-A-S-S. Whoops.
No, that's the next RSC exclusive CM Punk that comes with Z-Packs as the accessory.
Allegedly, that might be.
That's what they said in court. I don't know.
He will be in the black with red flames outfit, and the removable mask has the hair already in the mask, and when you take it off, when you take the mask off, it's just Kane's face, and it's actually a good sculpt of Kane, good face Kane.
It really is a good Kane Elite figure. What, really well done.
Kane will be coming with a Royal Rumble chair. There is a Dean Ambrose. He's in the Shield outfit, Royal Rumble chair, and ladder. Not a big fan of the Dean scan, Scott. I don't know what you thought of it.
I think I'm gonna be all on board with the new Dean scan from his return.
Correct.
Not necessarily that one.
Yeah. And Nakamura will have red and black pants. He will have a red and black jacket that is looks like pleather from the picture.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I can't wait to see what it looks like in the package.
And if I'm not mistaken, is that a new Nakamura scan?
It sure is. Unless that's the one they retooled off of his basic, or they reused off of his basic. But yeah, that looks like a new scan to me.
Looks so much better than his NXT Elite.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, it's a great scan of Nakamura.
Yeah. He will be coming with interchangeable hands, one clenched fist, one open fist.
And you'll be able to do kind of his like signature hand poses.
So that was Elite 63. Scott, we also forgot to mention our omission from last week.
Yes. When we were closing out the AWA line, we talked about some of the rings that were released. And we went off about how bad the main release ring was, that was the cardboard with canvas, four wooden posts, bad ropes, and really, really small, crappy turnbuckles. Well, the great Nate at Ring Skirts, our toy ring general, if you will, reached out to us and let us know that the steel cage playset that came out was actually a plastic ring, so obviously more sturdy. It wouldn't fold in on itself and like the cardboard ring did. It was a plastic ring that had a red canvas cover, but the scale itself was pretty much in scale with the crappy cardboard ring. So while you still got a beautiful red canvas with it, the scale was still off. And the cage went around it and it had openings on the side and little sticks that you could hold the guys on. But overall, the scale was still really, really bad. So it wouldn't have made a difference either way, Jeff. I think, and we talked about playtime with the AWAs last week. If they had one that was maybe better in scale or better constructed, you said it wouldn't have made a difference. I don't think it would have either. And I've actually gone, since Nate pointed that out, I went back and looked at some pictures of that ring. It is really, really small. Those AWA rings were so bad on the scale.
It really was, man. But they were memorable.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And again, nostalgia reasons alone, go back and check it out. But the scale was really bad. But thank you, Nate. We appreciate the feedback as always. You're definitely our toy ring general. We appreciate you, brother.
Scott, we've got the listener segment up next. Scott, this first audio question comes in from Chase. Let's see what Chase got to say.
Hey, Jeff and Scott, this is Chase. I'm that guy with the gloves. You can find me on YouTube at Burnout Inc., Twitch, Burnout Inc. BPW, Instagram, Burnout Inc. BPW, and on Twitter at Burnout Inc. Now that all my cheap plugs are done and out of the way, got to give a big shout out to Chick-fil-A, because back in 2016, I remember she plugged you guys on her Instagram, and ever since then, I've been a big follower. Love the podcast. Been listening to you guys since like the mid-30s, and then I went back and checked out all the previous episodes. I really like the WrestleMania segment that you guys used to do, but obviously that was going to run out of steam once you got caught up to that year's WrestleMania. So, I've been wanting to send a question to you guys for a long time, but I just could not come up with anything good, and if I did, I would sit on it, and then someone else would ask you a week or two later, but I think I finally got one. So, have you guys ever had a dream where you are actually figure hunting in the dream? Because that happened to me early last week. I'm having a dream where I'm in a Walgreens, of all places, and it's the strangest environment when I go inside this store. There's almost no aisles. There's like 1 8-foot run, and there's like a spotlight just pointed straight down at it. And I walk over to it, and there's just a whole bunch of items just thrown onto it. It's almost like what you would see at like a bargain bin store or at Ross in their little toy section. So I'm looking through this section, and I spot a WWE Elite, and I grab it, and it's a Jeff Hardy figure in the Fan Central packaging. So it's got the white and the orange. Looks amazing. Although Jeff, it's a mold of his Elite 57. Jeff looks freaky as hell. He's got blonde hair. There's like red streaks coming off of it. He's got all these like tattoos and markings that he normally doesn't have. He's also shirtless. I mean, why do I have to bring that up? It's just part of the dream. And his eyes are white, like the Undertaker, so it's just like a weird, freaky take on Jeff Hardy. And so I put him under my arm, and I'm going to leave, and I spot another figure behind him, and it's the Triple H Fan Central figure. It's exactly the same as the one that we bought at Toys R Us. Rest in peace, Toys R Us. There's one minor detail. In 2005, right around the lead-up to WrestleMania 21, Triple H had this shirt. He had a black t-shirt. Well, they all had black t-shirts, never mind. So Triple H had a t-shirt, and it had this red and white cross on it. And in the middle of the cross, it had this like weird graphic design of Triple H's face, where he's like a skull, and he's got like this red mangy hair coming down over his face, and you could like see one eye sticking out from the hair. It's really cool looking, and in fact, I used to own that shirt. I used to own a lot of wrestling shirts, and sadly, I didn't hang on to them. My bad. Anyway, so that design is like slightly off-center in like, okay, so it's got the red trunks, it's got the cross logo, but behind that, in a weird sort of like Affliction style, is that skull, and it looks incredible, and it's... Oh, it sucks so badly because I remember walking up to the counter that I couldn't find because there was only one light on in the store. It was pointing at the aisle. And I woke up and I was so sad I didn't have these figures in hand when I woke up, you know? Like, Nancy pulled out Freddy Krueger's hat. I wanted to pull these figures out of my dream. Ah, couldn't do it. Anyway, love you guys. Love the podcast. Hope to meet you someday. If you guys ever want to talk to another YouTube stop motion animator and toy figure reviewer, hey, hit your boy up. Anyway, take it easy. Hashtag fig life. Adios.
Chase, you have like the perfect radio voice. Holy crap, dude.
No doubt. Absolutely no doubt. A very, very strong voice for radio and or podcast.
So Scott and I were listening to that question over here. And actually, we popped like when you said, I don't know why I need to mention Jeff Hardy shirtless, but...
And then also about Nancy getting the hat in Nightmare on Elm Street and then wanting to wake up and pull those figures out of the dream. Like, dude, yes, totally right there with you.
Scott, have you ever had a dream toy spotting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, none that I can recall specifically, but yeah, I've had plenty of dreams where I was at like KB Toys, walking up and down the aisles aimlessly, looking at the same stuff, and then all of a sudden something jumps out. The most recent ones actually had nothing to do with wrestling figures. It was when Toys R Us was closing, and I was doing a lot of reminiscing about Toys R Us on the show with you, and I was looking at several G.I. Joe groups on Facebook that I follow, and on Twitter as well, and suddenly I was dreaming of being at Toys R Us, going to Toys R Us, and all they had were aisles and aisles filled with G.I. Joe toys. the old APC, the hovercraft, the figures, you name it, the headquarters. They had all of it. The only one I never found, and I think it's because I never owned it, was the aircraft carrier. But I was able to find every other G.I. Joe thing that I remembered having. Like, I would just walk up and down the aisles, and I was, like, filling my arms with these things, and I have no idea where they were going, because the more I was grabbing, the more I could grab. And I have no idea where I was putting them. I didn't have a shopping cart. I was just grabbing G.I. Joe stuff. I had that dream, like, at least 3 or 4 times. And it was always G.I. Joe. A couple times, there was, like, I could see He-Man toys off in the distance. But it was always going in and getting G.I. Joe stuff. And the weird thing is as much as you and I have talked about WWF LJN figures, I didn't once have a dream about those. And it's really weird because I kind of wish I did. I would have loved to have gone back in my dreams and, like, maybe imagine picking, like, a Brainbusters off of the pegs or the Never Gotten Smash or Barbarian. I would have loved that, but never had a dream about it. Just G.I. Joe's for some reason. Really weird.
I don't know why I've never told this on the show, but I guess it would just, this is one of those things, like, it's a dream. Like, you don't really feel the need to bring it on the show, but since somebody brought it up, I remember one time I was walking into a Walmart. Now, picture an action scene where, like, the lead character is walking and he's got that badass strut. And that's me walking into San Leandro Walmart. Hold on. Wait. Now there's more.
Wait a second.
I'm going. What? Wait, hold on.
Were there doves flying around you, dude? Were you in slow motion?
No, this is where it gets good.
You're strolling into Walmart.
Dude, I'm strutting into Walmart like a badass, right?
Oh, this is great. This is great.
I'm walking into Walmart because it's funny this came up because I'm just like, wait a second. I had this dream. There was no reason to bring it up though, like ever in 140 episodes. But now picture a camera and the lead character is walking towards this Walmart in San Leandro on Davis Street.
Okay, do you remember what you were wearing in this dream?
Dude, it was my work clothes. Like, I was just
was your zipper up or down?
A zipper was up this time, dude.
Okay, good. Well done.
Zipper goes up, mouth goes shut, right?
Exactly. So I'm walking over you walking in work clothes in slow motion. Dude. So this is where the
dream gets good, dude. So I'm walking in. Now, it's, you know, that slow motion BA walk when the lead character's walking?
Yes.
And then
yes,
other characters start to fall in line with him. Like, they'll come out of screen and fall in line with him. Here comes Sting over my right shoulder, dude. And I look over my shoulder. I'm like, what the hell is Sting doing here? You know,
you're here for figures too, bud?
And Sting was wearing the Elite 39, the red shirt, black jacket, white face paint.
Okay.
He was wearing that same exact outfit. So then I begin to look over my other shoulder to see who else is going to start following us, right? But it's just me and Sting. So me and...
There's nobody else?
Nobody else. Nobody else fell in line, dude.
Was he walking like you?
Well, it started to speed up when Sting started to get with me, dude.
So, you know, now you're racing to the figures.
Dude, I guess the Vanisher was over my left shoulder, I guess. Anyways.
The Vanisher, yes.
So I'm like, okay, this is random. Sting is with me walking into San Leandro Davis Walmart. So we walk in and we go straight to the toy aisle. And Sting picks up a basic Rey Mysterio. And he goes, you need to buy this. And I'm like, why? It's a basic. I don't care about basics. He goes,
wait, you questioned Sting?
I did question Sting. Steve Borden, dude, he got my questions.
How dare you?
He caught these questions. So he hands me the Rey Mysterio and he goes, you need to purchase this Rey. And I said, why? It's a basic. He goes, you need to purchase this. And I'm like, I don't want to purchase this, Sting. And, and so I picked it. I took it out of his hands and hung it on the peg. He goes, you're making a mistake. And then my alarm went off. And that was the end of the dream, dude. But
okay.
I hate how it ended so abruptly because it's one of those dreams you wanted to see where it kept going.
Like, were you guys going to go hit the McDonald's in Walmart after the figure collecting?
I guess so, dude. We need a protein, I guess.
Oh, that's so great, dude.
But it was so long ago, and I don't even remember if we were doing the show at that time. So it was just a random dream I had, dude, that I was like, okay, whatever. But I never felt the need to bring it to the show. Like, there was no reason to.
Oh, so many questions. Okay. If you ever meet Sting again.
Yes.
Please promise not only me, but the listeners, that you will tell Sting about that dream just to see what his reaction is and what his reasoning was for you to buy that Rey Mysterio.
No, I don't like getting reactions like you got from Sting, dude.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
I don't want to see disappointment in his face.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this guy.
He's the icon.
You're the one that questioned him.
Actually, I can't argue that. Questioned a basic Rey Mysterio from Sting, dude. I don't know.
Yeah, it was only $10. Gosh, buy the thing.
Sting's telling you to. Thank you, Chase, for sending that question in. Actually, it was a story, dude. That was actually really good.
I loved it.
Scott, our next audio question comes from Steve from the PPW podcast. By the way, go back this past week. He had Brandon Hova on.
Good brother Hova.
It was excellent. Great job, Steve. Great job, Hova. Loved every minute of it. Great job, you guys. Let's see what Steve's got to say from Chicago.
Hey, guys. This is Steve from the Positively Pro Wrestling Podcast. I'm sitting here watching WrestleMania 6 on Coliseum Home Video on my VCR. And it got me to thinking of some figures that I would love to be made, but just know they'll never, ever be made for obvious reasons. The one that stuck out most to me is the match that's on right now, which is Roddy Piper versus Bad News Brown. And this is the one famously where Piper is in half black, full body paint and face. And I would love a two-pack of him and Bad News Brown, Piper in the full black body, half body paint gimmick. But we know that's never going to happen. What is a figure or figure set that you guys would love to see made, but just know for obvious reasons it'll never happen? I would like to disclaimer, just don't include anything like Chris Benoit or anything like that, because we just know that's never, ever, ever going to happen for obvious reasons. So what about it, guys? What's a figure you want made or figure set you want made that you know just is never going to happen? Thanks, guys.
I think I would be crazy if I didn't say Bret and Owen Hart. For obvious reasons. I mean, we've been waiting for an Owen Hart forever. And I think that's at the top of everybody's wish list, is I would love to see a two-pack of Bret and Owen. Owen specifically in his King of Hearts gear, and pick a random Bret outfit. You could even do it from their time as a tag team together. But I would love to see an Owen King of Hearts and a Bret Hart two-pack.
That's a good call, Owen Hart. I'm going to go with, obviously, Gobbledygooker. I guess that figure's never seen the light of day.
Ooh, who would he be in the package with, though? Mean Gene.
Mean Gene, yeah. Or Hector Guerrero.
Yeah, right. It'll be Mean Gene, dude.
Owen's such a good call, dude. That is a very good call. I think Owen Hart figures are in such high demand. Everybody would go bonkers if that ever came to light. So
yeah.
There's nothing else that can top that. That's the number one answer.
Yeah, it's at the top of everybody's wish list, I think. And we've gone without an Owen Hart figure for so long that if Mattel ever got the rights to do Owen, I think justifiably so, they would go bonkers and you would see every single iteration of Owen Hart that ever existed. I'm talking, they would probably put out a WCW Owen Hart. Like, they would just go crazy and rightfully so, and I think we as fans would just eat it up. That's a figure that's just waiting to be made, and if they could only get the rights to it, man, we would buy the heck out of it.
Yeah, there's nobody else. It's Owen. The Piper, yeah, that figure's never going to be made.
No, definitely not. But, dude, Bad News Brown, we haven't had one since Jax, so I would love to see Mattel do a Bad News Brown. I think he is, honestly, grossly underrated in terms of WWE history. Everybody talks about the Randy Savages and Hogans and Ultimate Warriors of the 80s, late 80s. But, dude, Bad News Brown was a beast. He was a legitimate badass, and I would love to see a Bad News Brown figure.
Me too, dude. He won the WrestleMania 4 Battle Royal.
Yes, he did. And if that would be his accessory, was the trophy from that Battle Royal, and it could even break away, you know, and go into pieces. But I would love to see a Bad News Elite with that trophy. Dude, that would be amazing. I love Wishlist. I know we had to put it down, but I love Wishlist.
We had to put it down.
Well, we had to.
Thank you, Steve, for your question. Check out PPW Podcast, or you can follow them on Twitter at PPW Podcast, Positively Pro Wrestling. Scott, our next question came in from Jacob. Now, you're going to have to use your Rolodex in your brain, dude, because we're going to be going back about 2 years.
Okay.
Because Jacob sent in a question 2 years ago.
Or are we just getting to it now?
Just kidding.
I see what you did. Just kidding.
That's good improv. I like that. So Jacob says, "Hey guys, I don't know if you guys remember me, but I'm that 15-year-old who wrote to you about his love of LJN's back around episode 30. Is it ringing a bell?"
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I knew once I said that, I knew that would trigger your brain.
Yep.
"I'm going on 18 now, but my love for figures hasn't died. As a matter of fact, my collection is bigger than ever. Anyways, the reason I'm sending you this message is to tell you guys I found my favorite figure from my childhood, Festus. I think I shared some of my crazy bookings with you guys before and why Festus was such a big deal. It was a really nice moment when I found him because I thought all the Jax figures I got prior to Mattel were lost. I just wanted to know if you guys ever had an experience like this where you found something you thought was lost forever. P.S. I'm on Twitter at JakeHolt12. You have favorited some of my tweets before, and I just wanted you guys to know that at JakeHolt12 is me." Okay. "Scott, is there a figure that you thought was gone and never to be seen again?"
Not necessarily a figure, no, but when I was going through one of my totes in the garage, or I should say, Jeff, one of our totes in the garage, I came across our Bendies, our Thumb Wrestlers, a blown-up Stretch'em Ricky Steamboat that's thoroughly disgusting.
Oh, that thing must now be... Oh, is that the one that exploded?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
It is, and it's now encased in a Ziploc bag, but I couldn't throw it away. I mean, it's a Ricky Steamboat Stretch'em. Hello, when I'm going to toss it in the garbage? Of course not. I'm not a savage. I'm not a savage. But when I was going through the tote, Jeff, what I came across were two LJN figure stands.
Ooh.
These are original, not the new ones that somebody has come out with and pressed. And those are amazing, by the way, because if you need to stand up your LJNs, those are the way to go. But they're not the originals. These things are like super rare. And Jeff, I came across two of them in a tote in the garage. So honestly, I don't even remember getting them, but somehow we kept them and they ended up in a tote and they are now sitting in the garage. And that's two of the LJN WWF stands that I completely don't even remember. When I pulled them out of the thing, I was like, whoa, dude, that's amazing. Because I know they go for quite a bit, the originals. And when I found two of them, I was like, holy crap, dude. And I think I even sent you a picture. I might have put it on Twitter. But that was an amazing find for me because I don't even remember ever having them.
The stands?
Correct.
Oh, I remember having the stands. I don't know if we ever kept them. That's the thing.
Well, we have two for sure. I don't know if there's any others floating around, maybe at Grandma Toon's house in the garage. But yeah, I found two of them in a tote in my garage. And I know we have a bunch of those old WWF Jack stands.
Uh-huh.
Those are super plentiful. Everybody has like millions of those floating around. But those LJN ones are really, really rare.
Scott, your homework for next week for the show is to find the person who makes those custom stands.
Okay. That shouldn't be too tough. I've seen them on Twitter and Facebook, so that shouldn't be too tough.
Would love to release that out to our listeners.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great way to stand up your LJNs too.
I know I've gone back, like you said, into some boxes that I hadn't rummaged through in about 15, 20 years. But when I find something, I'm like, oh, I forgot I had this.
Yeah. And I think that's more to his point, is stuff that you like maybe purchased and then you put it in a tote and kind of forgot all about it. And then you find it like so many years later and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about this figure. I'm so happy I have it.
Right, right. It's not like I lost something and then it reappeared 15 years later.
Right. You didn't necessarily lose it, but maybe you stuck it in a tote and forgot about it.
Right, right, right. Yeah, there are bins of stuff that I've gone through and I don't even remember purchasing. That's like me every single time I go through the bins out in the garage, dude. I'm like, when the hell did I purchase this? There's some Jax figures in there. I'm like, oh God, what was I on when I, was that an extra shot of Diet Coke or something, dude?
Yeah. You're like, why did I buy this?
Oh, Jax, we do love you though.
Yes, we do. You have a soft spot in our heart. You gave us classic superstars.
Thank you for sending that in, Jacob. Feel free to send in another question. Hopefully it won't be 2 years.
Or send us some pictures of your collection. I'd love to see how it's grown in 3 years.
Yeah, tweet us that, man. Tweet us. Scott, the next question is the headliner, Josh Thompson. By the way, our headliner main event segment.
Icon Showstopper, yes?
Yes. It's actually going to be called the main event because I found a clip of a ring announcer saying, and now is the main event, or something like that. So we're calling it the main event now.
Oh, so it's officially the main event.
It's officially the main event. It actually got a lot of love. A lot of people liked it. Scott, this comes in from Josh Thompson. Hey, Jeff and Scott, JT here with the weekly question. You guys have talked about how you used to play with LJNs and Hasbros a lot, and the lack of arm and leg movements they had compared to figures today. Well, what if by the time you guys collected figures, fully posable Jax figures were in? Would you guys still have fun? Would playtime in the house ever be the same? And most importantly, would Scott still hit Jeff in the back of the head with a train? No, that was the other way around. I clocked Scott.
Still not forgiven, by the way.
Yeah, because I broke Peter, Chris, and Ace Frehley.
No, you destroyed Paul Stanley.
Oh, I thought I destroyed Peter, Chris.
Nope, you destroyed Paul Stanley, the Star Child, and you broke Peter, Chris's leg at the knee joint. And luckily, Ace Frehley and Gene Simmons were not yet touched by your destructive hands. For some reason, you wanted my Kiss figures to get these hands, and you bashed them on the coffee Okay, deep breaths. Calm down, just like the guy told me. Deep breaths, in and out. Remember your breathing. Okay, I'm over it. Let's not talk about the Kiss figures anymore. Moving on.
Yeah, so Scott was going to go tell Mom, and then I picked up this wood train and just destroyed him in the back of the head. Concussed. Boom.
Yeah.
Scott's going to file a concussion lawsuit against me.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. So you won't see any Scott figures in the near future.
And then we'll... And then we'll take it to court, and then the judge will laugh hysterically.
And tell you to buy me that new set that just came out on Figures Toy Company?
And then the judge will look at me and he goes, did he get those trains? I was all, hell yeah, judge.
Jeff?
Yes?
You're going to get thrown out of here, dude.
Oh, memories. You know, the more you talk about it, the more I kind of remember that day.
Oh, good. I'm happy.
Yes, it's true.
I'm really glad that you remember that day.
Was I four? Was I three?
Is that Kiss?
Scott, Jax figures, would they have been a playtime for us?
There's no doubt about it. Because wrestling figures technically came first because wrestling figures spawned my interest in wrestling. So the Jax figures themselves, the Bone Crunchers, they were colorful enough to grab attention. I think the cards were pretty well done. Even the initial series, the cards were pretty well done. I think the figures were interesting enough to grab attention, to get somebody interested in wrestling, which would then further strengthen the need for the figures so you could reenact what you were seeing on television. Plus, Jeff, let's not forget when the Jax figures came out, that was kind of right when wrestling was hitting its boom in 96 with WCW and the NWO, and then you had WWE, who was about 2 years away from hitting the Attitude Era. So I think, yes, with those Jax figures, if that was going to be our initial era of figures, I think it would have been great. Of course, we would have had even more. Because once Jax really started pumping those figures out, man, they were really flooding you with them. And I think the volume was higher than even LJN was putting out. So yeah, absolutely. 2 or 3 years into Jax, we would have been full on. Our collections would have been huge. Not to sound like Donald Trump here, we would have the biggest collection, the best collection. But I think, yes, they would have still dominated our playtime. And I can't think of any other collection that was out at the time, aside from maybe like Star Wars Power of the Force, that maybe would have rivaled that. But yeah, absolutely, WWF, WWE would have ruled playtime at the Toon household.
Yeah, absolutely, they would have been played with. One thing I'm noticing is when the figures were in one pose, LJNs. Next week, we'll get into the Galoobs, and I'll tell my story regarding the Galoobs.
Ooh, spoiler.
Exactly. And even the WCW OSFTM figures, I liked figures that didn't move. I noticed with Hasbros, that's when I stopped playing with figures.
Well, age had a little bit to do with that, too.
Well, not in particularly, because I picked up the Galoobs and played with the Galoobs. And I think it's because I didn't like parts that moved. Parts that where an arm would bend back and it would punch. I didn't like that. I liked being able to have one guy just throw a punch if he was just in one pose. I think I just liked that.
Were you worried about the figure breaking, maybe?
Possibly. But, you know, I always say Hasbro's to this day is one of the best looking figures you can set up and have a collection with and put in a cabinet. They look beautiful displayed.
Yes, they do.
I didn't like playing with them. I don't know if it's because of the scale of them. I don't know if it's because parts moved, but the figures being in one pose, LJN, Galoob, OSFTM, I seem to gravitate more and have matches with those. So when the Galoobs came out and rivaled the Hasbros, I would pick up the Galoobs and I'd have matches with those. I would have to put them in the Hasbro ring because I hated the Galoob ring going back to last week.
Yeah.
But I was still able to have long matches with those because I had the Steiners, I had Doom, I had Ric Flair and Barry Windham. Barry Windham was in a great pose, almost like Greg Valentine pose, which I love that pose too. So yeah. If we were born later and Jax came out, yeah, absolutely. Even though they were able to move at the hip and the arm and they had the BCA, the bone crunching action, they were still stiff enough for me to have a match with.
Yeah, because they still twisted at the waist. They bent, or they were articulated at the shoulder joint and at the hip joint, so you could move the legs. So yeah, it wasn't like super articulated, but good enough.
Thank you to Steve, Jacob, Chase, and JT for your questions this week. Scott, I swear I've got to bring back your secret question, man.
Until then,
I guess I'm gonna get hit with the everybody has a price segment.
You are, sir. Right in the back of the head, like you gave me those trains.
Concussion lawsuit. Here you go. Scott, before we get into everybody has a price, let you know nostalgia. We're going to be starting up the Galoobs next week, as I mentioned in the last segment. But for now, Scott, everybody has a price.
Yes, sir. So the trick of this segment is I throw out four figures and Jeff has to guess the price of the figure from either highest to lowest or lowest to highest and guesstimate what each of these figures goes for. So, Jeff, do you have pen and paper ready?
I do. I'm ready to rebound from a couple weeks ago when I botched this segment.
Essentially went 0 for 4. Now, you had a pretty good run up until that point.
Yes.
But that really toppled you. So, let's see if you can rebound this week. And I'll give you a little hint as to what I was going for. Survivor Series is about 2 months away.
Yes.
So, in honor of that, I said, hey, let's put together one of my favorite Survivor Series teams ever. It's the one that I think was the most dominant, and their win at the Survivor Series really firmed it up for me. And that team was Triple H, Shawn Michaels, CM Punk, and the Hardys, who, as you know, Jeff, had a clean sweep over their opponents. So this week, I have taken those five guys, and I have put together Everybody Has a Price with four different manufacturers. So are you ready for the first figure?
I like what you did here. Very creative.
Thank you. Yeah, I figured I'd put a little theme on it. With Survivor Series right around the corner, why not?
Okay, go for it.
Okay, figure number one. Mattel, Ringside Exclusive, CM Punk, Straight Edge Society Exclusive.
Okay.
Figure number two. Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, Hasbro Series 7 Yellow Card.
Okay.
Next up, and technically this, I guess this could count as two figures, Hardy's Jax Deluxe Classic Series 6. Now, this is both of them, Jeff, and they're very reminiscent of their original Jax release where they were in the black pants and the red shirts.
Yes.
But this is the Jax Deluxe Classic Superstars Series 6. Deluxe Classic, Jeff.
Okay.
Mint on the card.
I have that one autographed. I love that one.
It's a beautiful set. Okay. Last one, and I kind of went a little bit sideways on you here. So technically, since we've already put four figures in the hopper, if you count the Hardys as two, I went off script a little bit, being that there really are like five guys in this Everybody Has a Price segment. Triple H, McFarlane statue.
Boy, you really did go sideways on me on that one.
A little bit, because I know now in your head, you're debating, is it the CM Punk? Or is it the Triple H McFarlane statue that is the highest priced? Or is the Hardy set super rare lately and people are paying a mint for it? Now, keep in mind, Jeff, these are pulled, sold listings from eBay. And the most recent sale would have been September 19th. The oldest sale would be August 5th. So these are all sold items. So this kind of gives you an idea of what these guys are currently going for on the open market. On eBay, essentially.
Okay. I think I'm going to have to go lowest to highest on this one. I usually go low to high, and I wanted to go high to low, but I'm having a rough time, but I'm going to figure this out.
Okay, so you're going to go with the cheapest one first. Let's knock that one out.
Cheapest one first, Shawn Michaels Hasbro Series 7.
And you would be correct.
Ooh, okay, okay.
That was actually the most recent sale on September 19th. How much do you think it sold for?
So that one I think sold for mint on card, right?
Yeah, these are all mint on card. Well, except for the Triple H statue, which somebody had displayed and then put back in the box, but you still get it in the box. But yes, mint on card.
Mint on card, I would say $68.
You're really close, Jeff. Really close. Would you like to put one more guess on it?
Really close, 71.
Nah, lower.
62.
September 19th, HBK Hasbro Series 7 yellow card sold for $57.
Okay.
You were close.
Dude, I swear these Hasbros are coming down in price. At least, okay, I won't say the green card are, but definitely the earlier series are coming down in price from what I was looking at maybe about a year ago or a year and a half ago.
It might be time to buy now.
See where they start to go in a couple months. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to have to go Hardy's Jack's Deluxe Classic.
And you would be correct.
So that one, I'm going to say $83.
You are super close. On August 22nd, that two-pack of the Hardys, unsigned, by the way, sold for $75.
Okay. All right, this is where it's going to get tough.
And now it gets tough. And I got to tell you, Jeff, the price difference between these two is less than $20. One sold on August 5th, and one sold on August 11th. And the price difference is less than $20, which is shocking.
When the McFarlane statue came out, that was $299, $280. I'm talking this out, folks. CM Punk ringside exclusive. I think that one goes for $210, $190 to $210. So the Triple H would have come down. Okay. I'm going to say the Triple H McFarlane statue.
And you would be correct.
Ooh, are you serious?
Yeah. Sold on August 5th. There was one sold on August 19th, but it was a buy it now. And so I couldn't see the price on it. They were asking like $300 or $250, something outrageous. But then it was scratched out and it said it went buy it now, so they wouldn't reveal a price. So this was the one under that, sold on August 5th. How much do you think it sold for? Now, this had been removed from the box.
So the McFarlane Triple H statue, I'm going to say $210.
Way too high.
Okay, $165.
You're getting warm. Keep going down. That's what she said.
$145?
Oh, almost right on the money, Jeff. Sold on August 5th for $140.
Wow. Boy, did they take a price hit on that one.
Yeah. Big time, considering what they paid for it.
Okay, so that leaves the ringside exclusive CM Punk. So you said it's within $20, so $160?
Sold on August 11th. Again, mint on card. $157.50.
Wow. I've seen that one as high as $190, I think.
Yeah, so whoever bought it at that price got a really, really good deal on it. You did well this week. Look at you rebound from an 0-for-4 performance in your last showing to a 4-for-4.
I was so disgusted in myself. I went back and as I was editing, I was like, what the hell was I thinking?
Well, this week you are a regular Ted Williams. Well done.
Well, good job, dude. That was actually kind of fun. I like the theme, the Survivor Series theme.
Yeah, I might keep that going. We still have another couple months till Survivor Series. So if we do another Everybody Has a Price, then maybe I'll stick with that.
If you do one for every WWE pay-per-view, we would be doing this like 5 times a month.
I know. I don't know that anybody would want that, though. We need some variety, Jeff.
Okay.
Yeah, we need to spice it up a little bit.
There's an Evolution pay-per-view coming up.
Yes, there is. That could have something to do with the next one.
So, Scott, that rounds out episode 140. Everyone, head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. Please pick up any of those past shirts. That's the best way to support the show. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable, WFP. Please go back and listen to any of our past episodes at fullyposablepodcast.com. Download that Podbean app and you can listen to any episode except for 135 for some strange reason right now that we're working on.
It'll be up soon.
It will be. Hopefully we'll get that figured out. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Thank you, Steve Gutenberg, for sending in that review. That meant a lot to us, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Loved you in Cocoon.
You can email us any audio questions, questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, for episode 140. God, 140, dude.
Yeah, it almost feels like an accomplishment. I mean, it's not a nice round number like 150 or 100, but 140 has a decent ring to it.
Yeah, I'm just saying it. And I'm like, wow, 140, man. Like, literally, it feels like a year ago we were doing episode 40.
Yeah, and here we are. But it was not a year ago.
It was not. It was about two.
Yeah. Yeah, since January of 2016, man, just chugging along.
Yep. Having fun doing this, interacting with you guys. So, Scott, for episode 140, anything else?
Yes, please continue to follow and support at Jason Wolf on Twitter. That's at Jason WLF on Twitter. Please continue to follow and support at Pollyanna DIY. And our good friends Breaker and Bane, who have a killer podcast that drops the same day as ours every Sunday. And aside from that, be good to each other and happy toy hunting.
Yeah, make sure you go listen to Breaker and Bane. Let's try to get them sponsored by Bang Energy Drink.
Yeah, Jeff, as a matter of fact, this episode, you mentioned at the beginning I was not feeling well. Earlier today, I did have a Sour Heads Bang, and that is what got me through tonight's show. Bang rules. And go support Breaker and Bane. Bang. Get on it.
One thing I've noticed is that Bang only sponsors like dudes that have like a 14-pack, like Tony Nese.
Breaker's buff.
Yeah, Breaker's buff. They should be sponsoring them.
Yes, they should. And Bane can rap. Come on, Bang.
Yeah. Get off your ass, Bang. Go sponsor Breaker and Bane. They're the reason that we started drinking Bangs.
Yes.
By the way, we love your product.
Absolutely. We drink it at least 2 to 3 times a week. But Jeff can't drink a whole can.
You had to throw that in, didn't you?
Yes, I did. When we were interviewing Sam, you had the unicorn Bang, and you couldn't even finish it.
Dude, I get through about 10 ounces of it, and I'm like, okay, done. it's like something in my brain is like, no more. This is like way too much. What are you doing?
Do you want to be bouncing off the walls later? Knock it off, Jeff.
It's funny, too, because I was like, dude, do you want the rest of this? You're like, you were waiting for me to offer it. You're like,
yes,
yeah.
I was. Yeah, because that unicorn flavor is really tasty.
You like that one. Do you like the Sour Head?
Sour Head is my favorite energy drink of all time.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, yeah. I love the Sour Heads one, dude. That's my absolute favorite. And I love the unicorn one, too, but the Sour Heads is the bomb.
The guava one was pretty good, too.
I haven't had guava yet. Or purple. I like the peach mango as well.
Peach mango is good. Purple haze or guava? I can't remember which one. Oh, wait. We were supposed to round out the show.
Yeah, we're not being sponsored by Bang, but they need to go sponsor Breaker and Bane because they got us on Bang.
Yes, exactly. I don't know if that's a good thing for our hearts, but you know what? That's a good thing for Breaker and Bane, so we'll take it.
Yes. Wait, yeah. They banged us? Is that a way to say that they got us on Bang?
We're Bang Brothers?
Bang. All aboard the Bang bus.
Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.